Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. It's hard not to see the many changes currently happening in the city of Milwaukee. From the torn-up streets making way for the new Milwaukee streetcar to the ongoing construction of the new Bucks Arena, the city is making a visible transformation, unlike anything we've seen in recent decades.
And it's not just Milwaukeeans who are taking notice. U.S. News & World Report just ranked Milwaukee as one of the top three up-and-coming places to live in the country.
Sam Radbill is a content manager at Abodo, a Madison-based startup which analyzes housing market data. He spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers about how the city's housing market stacks up to others in the U.S. and Milwaukee's status as an up-and-coming place to live.
There is a lot of new development, more than in previous years and decades in the city. There's a lot of luxury apartments and new arena for the Bucks going up. And a lot of the educational institutions are growing and building out and developing. And there's just more opportunity in the city now than we've seen in the past. And whether that's in housing, more developments and more available apartments, whether that's, like I said, sports and that coming to the city in a new arena that is really, you know, revitalizing downtown, and also headquartered businesses. You know, there's Northwestern Mutual with a new building, Manpower Group, Harley Davidson, obviously. There's a lot of Fortune 500 companies that call Milwaukee home, and that provides a lot of opportunity for students and professors and people just living in the city.
As you mentioned, there's a lot of development going up. And I think all of us who live in Milwaukee, we're seeing all of these buildings go up. We're seeing new hotels, new apartment buildings. Are there people coming into the city from your analysis and from what you know in your work? Are there people coming into the city to fill those spaces?
Yeah, we found from our research that, first of all, developers aren't going to start projects without the idea or proof of concept that there are going to be people coming into the city. For example, you know, the U.S. rental market saw historically low levels during mortgage finance boom. Those are steadily shifting back to norms, and that's impacted new apartment starts. And we, our research has shown that people are moving to Milwaukee, whether it's coming from Chicago or Minneapolis or, you know, to work at some of those big companies or just to start up businesses. There's opportunity here, and there's people that are definitely interested in living in the city. And I think that's, like you mentioned, with the new hotels and new developments for luxury units, that there's proof there that the city is on the rise once again.
There's a lot of back and forth here, though, because there was another piece recently that said Milwaukee was in the last place for startups, that business startups are not coming to Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that's something that has been factored into this at all.
No, that's not necessarily something, the number of startup businesses that have been, that's been factored into this report. Specifically, it's just touching on, you know, the housing and those demographics. But we do know that Wisconsin has typically been behind, you know, the national average with startup businesses. But so has cities like Detroit and other Midwestern cities that are growing. And usually those startup businesses that start on the coast, whether it's New York and San Francisco, a lot of companies over time, you know, you might see re-headquartered in Midwestern cities where it's cheaper and more affordable. You know, one of the things we love about Madison is that there's amazing talent because of the universities and the great educational systems. And also it's very affordable, just like Milwaukee, to grow a company and to have employees live in the city because, you know, rent rates aren't equivalent to those in New York or San Francisco.
So you just have this analysis of the housing market in Milwaukee. Before we get too much into the numbers, what are the numbers actually based on?
So the numbers in our report are based on the U.S. Census Bureau's 2015 American Community One-Year Survey estimates. And that's about occupied housing units in the Milwaukee City, you know, Milwaukee, Waukesha, West Allis, Metropolitan Statistical Area. And we also have rent rates that comes from Abodo's proprietary data, which we track each month and produce rent reports based on one-bedroom apartment rates throughout the country.
So the number of renters in the city of Milwaukee has substantially increased, as have rents. What do those numbers look like? What do those numbers really look like in Milwaukee? And how does that compare to other cities in the U.S.?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So compared to other cities in the U.S., Milwaukee has quite a few more renters. In 2012, for example, there were about 58% renters in the city of Milwaukee. That number is almost towards 60 as of 2015 and on the rise in the last 2 years as well. As far as home ownership is concerned, that rate is falling, and this is something we've seen throughout the country, and that's pretty on par with the rest of the nation. In 2011, there were 42.8% of owner-occupied units in Milwaukee, and that's down, as of 2015, to 40.5%. So you see a slight decrease there and an uptick in renters, as I mentioned.
With home ownership, it seems like mortgages have also gone down. Is that similar to the rest of the country?
Yes, that is. So we've seen, as rent rates increase and people are kind of moving toward a renter by choice attitude, maybe that's a lot of millennials who don't want to be stuck in a certain city because they own an apartment, or it could be baby boomers who are looking to downsize and head toward the city. We are seeing that the demand for apartments is causing a little decrease in mortgage rates. For example, in Milwaukee in 2011, the average owner-occupied rate was $1,399, and 2015 was $1,257. So once again, you see a bit of decline there. And also, to that same point, you see, an increase in rent price with that demand.
So Milwaukee's story is often one of segregation. I feel like almost every story we talk about involves segregation to some extent. But this is something your analysis actually gets into.
That's correct. So we obviously, as a former, I grew up in Milwaukee and lived there for the first 18 years of my life. And it's true. You notice that there is a bit of segregation, and more than most, obviously, a number of reports will show Milwaukee as the number one most segregated city in the country. And we saw the similar factors and similar statistics shown in our report. White people owned about 59.3% and rented for about 34.2%. Black or African-American people in Milwaukee, about 25% of the time they own property, and almost 46% of the time they were renting. So this shows a huge kind of disparity between who's renting, who's owning, and that kind of goes along the lines of, like you said, you hear a lot of reports and studies, and locals will tell you that the segregation is a real thing, and it's proven here in the study as well.
One of the most surprising things I found was the number of renters who are below the poverty line. That seemed unusual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we analyze a lot of reports and our own data about who is cost burdened, who is in poverty, and what we saw was the majority of people across the country who are renting are you could say they're cost burdened, which would mean in real estate and in apartment renting, they spend more than 30% of their income on rent. When it comes to poverty in Milwaukee, it's 39.1% are below the poverty line. And, it just goes to show that there's going to be very much difficulty trying to purchase a home if you are, struggling to pay your rent, or you are, below the poverty line. So nationally, 24.4% of renters are below this line. And in Milwaukee, like I said, it's 39.1%. So that shows a huge, huge difference there as well, which is obviously not great.
When considering these levels of poverty in the city of Milwaukee, does that impact our status as an up-and-coming city? I don't think we necessarily view up-and-coming cities as having these rather big systemic issues of, both segregation and poverty.
Sure. I think, it's interesting. There's a lot more poverty in every city, whether it's New York or San Francisco or Milwaukee or, Madison. There's, millions, 40 million, over 40 million people in poverty in the United States, and they have to live somewhere. And obviously it doesn't look great if, a city has a high poverty level, but that's something that's, going to happen in every city across the country. And I don't, we don't think that it should reflect entirely poorly on the city as an up-and-coming kind of, in-demand city. Obviously, you wish there was less poverty in Milwaukee or in Madison or Chicago, but there are still a number of amazing things happening in the city, which we think are still going to draw people to that area.
Well, Sam Radbill, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing these numbers.
No, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Sam Radbill is a content manager and senior communications manager at Ubodo, a Madison-based startup company that lists apartments and analyzes housing market data. For more information, you can head to wuwm.com.